Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour. April 30th, 2020. Just a huge number of topics to cover tonight. The first thing I want to do is talk about 5G and the massive, massive amount of misinformation floating around out there. It drives me crazy when people repeat and repeat, and then everybody's jumping up and down about 5G and that is what's causing coronavirus. This morning, every time I'm on John Moore's show, I get confronted with this and people trying to say, well, see, you see, now you have to agree. And it's like, no, I don't. And so I called in this morning as a call-in to John Moore's show, and it just happened that Dr. Len Horowitz was on, and I inserted my comment that some patient that's coughing his lungs out with some kind of thing that they're calling coronavirus or SID, COVID-19 or whatever. But you have dozens of people, if not hundreds of people, around that person that have no effect at all. And so if 5G were causing everybody to have this tremendous disease, then many more people would be affected, is my point. And let me make no mistake about explaining that Wi-Fi as it is today, 4G and the router in your house, the technology, the radio signaling, people are being bombarded by radio signals. And the 5G is probably the most invasive signaling that has ever been invented because it's much more powerful. It's probably going back to the level of power of probably 2G, because in 2G you had this little flip phone with an antenna in it, or a little antenna. If you remember back far enough, the early cell phones had an antenna that you had to pull out to use the phone. And that's because the signaling there was very powerful from the antenna, from the central antenna, from the antenna tower that created the service. And the phone itself did not have much power because the battery wouldn't last long if you had a lot of power. So they put a lot of power in the tower. Now you get, as you went down to 3G and then 4G, as you advanced through these G levels of phone service, the amount of power was increased in the handset. And that's why you have this massive battery in your phone, because of the advancements in battery technology. Okay, so enter 5G. All of a sudden now they've got it down to where the phone can be put on a size of one-tenth of a grain of rice. That's how small the cell phone actually can be because of the tremendous amount of power put in the tower. And so they're going back to very powerful signaling and then a very small device, and a very small energy source in the device, a very small battery in the device. So that's kind of come full circle with 5G. So 5G is a very invasive signal, and people claim that the signal robs people, or it causes people's oxygen levels to fall in their bodies, and that's what people are reacting to. And thank you, Len Horowitz, for clarifying that it's a mixture of things, possibly in some people 5G is one of them. But let me explain also that 5G is a tremendously detrimental technology because it's very invasive in terms of your privacy. Now they can take a chip and put it in a vaccine and load you with 5G. Now, if you've ever seen a chart for 5G, it's driving your car, it's running factories, it's telling you when to get up and when to take a poop. It's telling you everything. I mean, it's going to run the AI idiots out there, the Elon Musks of the world and other people envision this future world where centralized computers run everything. And, when you get to eat, and that'll coordinate the food so you have the right portion of food in your life. And see, all of this previously was handled by what we call free economy economics. The reason there's enough apples on the shelf when you go to the store is because over the years, a supply chain has developed. And the store isn't going to buy more apples than what it thinks it's going to sell. And if all of a sudden there's a run on apples, they can call their supplier and say, "Doggone, we're out of apples. Can you give us more?" And the supplier goes, "Oh, we have a better market for apples now." So they increase their production. And over time, this ebb and flow of demand and supply and demand has filled markets. The same with automobiles, with everything else. Gasoline, you name a product. Coffee cups that you buy to put your coffee in, or whatever it is. You know, nobody's going to make so many that they can't sell them. And if they sell out everything they have, they're going to make more. It's just common sense, you know, and that's the way the economy runs. But in the skewed, warped world of AI technology, and now let me just explain, too, that this is not the first time this has happened. Remember back, if you're old enough, 40 years ago, the big thing was knowledge-based systems. They were going to get all the people in the world, all of the smart people, to put all of their smart information in a database, and then we would have a knowledge system. Well, it turns out the knowledge system is only good for about 2 years because everything changes. So the idea of AI or control, every down to the last, you know, little drop of coffee that you drink in the morning is programmed in an AI computer, is absolutely absurd. But that's the way these people think. This is the Bill Gates. This is the Elon Musks. This is the, you know, Elon Musk putting 1 million satellites up in the sky to run 5G so you can have 5G. And everything that you do is controlled. Everything. You know, to open up your car, you walk up to your car. It knows it's you because you got your chip in you. And the car opens the door, and then you get in and you sit there, and you don't drive the car. You just, and it probably already knows where you're supposed to go because it's planned by AI. This is the futuristic view of AI, artificial intelligence. And so 5G is the backbone for that, for trading. If you want to go into a store, doggone, you don't need that heavy cash or coins in your pocket. It's a chip in your arm that allows you into that store. And of course, you also have in your chip all of the recorded data that shows you are up to date on your vaccinations, which allows you to go into the store. And you can walk around and go to the food shelf. But doggone, the guy that didn't have his vaccination for the latest virus scare, he can't go in that store. This is the future of AI, and 5G is the backbone of this. So first of all, there's a total, a huge amount of misinformation that 5G is the cause of what we're calling the virus. And it's simply not true. It could be an effect. It could be one of the factors. It could be related in some way, but there is 5G all over the place. You can look up a map of 5G. There's one down the block from you right now, okay? And if that were affecting people to the level they're saying, people would be dropping dead all over the place, in their homes and et cetera. In fact, if that were the cause, then making people stay in their homes wouldn't get them away from 5G. It would be affecting them in their homes. They would be dropping dead all over in their homes. And the number of deaths is being completely augmented. And so the bottom line is, I believe that there was some kind of a malady that was released. We can call it a virus. That's a general name. But people like Dr. Andrew Kaufman have pointed out that nobody has really isolated this alleged virus. Nobody has done it by proper means. So we're walking around and everybody's jumping up and down and screaming, and there's just such a massive amount of misinformation. And once people get onto this, and these are people who are not scientists, they're regular people, they're people that are good intentioned, I'm not saying that, but they're purveying something that simply is not, has no scientific basis. And I'm not saying 5G is good. I'm saying 5G is horrific. But let's take another example, global climate change. The end effect of global climate change is we're not supposed to use as much fuel. Well, that's good. But does that mean you should condone the use of something that's totally bogus to get to your end? No, it does not mean that. In fact, it's very clear from the global climate change people, if you confront them and say, what over the past literally 40 years has your movement accomplished? We use more fuel in all sorts today. Energy usage is higher than it's ever been, except for now the coronavirus thing. Everybody's shut down, or the alleged coronavirus thing. Everybody's shut down. But in normal life, we use far more energy today than ever in the history of the world. So what have they accomplished? Nothing. They've promoted a bogus topic, which, by the way, is concentrated at the college in Oxford, the same group of people that have promoted the idea that millions and millions of Americans would be dead by now. And here was the plan. Let me just summarize this. That the plan was they were going to drop this off in Wuhan to get it started. The Chinese government immediately realized that they had a military weapon-grade virus on their hands, and they shut everything down. They knew it came from the U.S., and that's why they were reluctant and still reluctant to deal with the United States, because things in the U.S. are being controlled by the deep state, who started this whole thing in the first place, and Trump is completely out of his element. I mean, here's two examples of Trump. He's like a wolf, a moose. Excuse me. He's like a moose being attacked by a pack of wolves. One is biting at his back ankle, and one is jumping on his back, and one is biting at his front ankle, and one is jumping at his throat. And this is all going on. And the deep staters, including a lot of Republicans, are all in on this. I mean, they're all getting paid off. They're all getting their benefit. And but the Democrats are just going bananas here. This was their ticket to ride. They want mail-in voting. Believe me, that will be the downfall of the United States if you have mail-in votes, because then there's no checks or balances. You don't know who mailed in that vote. They claim, oh, no, we can check. We text the person to make sure that that's who it was. Well, if it was, one of the cheating people, don't you think they're going to write back and say, oh, yeah, that was me. I certainly did send in my vote. I mean, it's all can be fixed. These people think there's some kind of fail-safe that will protect the integrity of the voting system. No, you have to get your butt up and go to a place and vote. And then that means you get to vote once and not 200 times or 2,000 times or 200,000 times a single person. And so anyway, mail-in voting is going to be the end of this country, but that's what they're pushing for. And so they're using this, the cover of nighttime with the COVID ID thing, to get all of these things in place that they've been pushing for years. And if that's the case, the other problem with Trump is he never cleared the swamp. The first week in there, he should have taken the federal government down to about 100 people and then rebuilt it. And that's not what happened. So now he's basically being suffocated by swamp creatures around him. And do you think that people like, you remember the whole host of CIA and FBI people that were doing all the illegal activities, those people didn't go away. They're somewhere underground working like busy beavers and probably being paid quite well to instigate and fomulgate all of this stuff. So anyway, back to the topic of 5G. I want to close this out by saying that 5G is a horrific technology. It's already there. It's been rolled out without your consent. It's like technologies that they just assume that when this new technology comes along, it's got to be good. It's got to be an improvement. Like I say, if you need a technology where you can download a 3-hour video or movie in 1 minute on your cell phone, and you can't watch it in a minute, you got to wait the 3 hours to watch it, then, you know, there's something wrong with you. What do you need a technology like that for? It's not necessary. But it's the heart and soul of this new AI, artificial intelligence world. This is the brave new world. This is the Matrix, in literally the Matrix, where you are, every aspect of your life is to be controlled. So 5G is horrific, but once these technologies get in place, how do you undo them? How do you get communications back? And so we're living in a world that's overtaking us. And so while everybody's looking at that COVID-19, 5G is being rolled out and stuck in your face without any question. Okay, so, and all of this was planned. I mean, all of this was planned a long time ago. Just a quick comment on protein plants being shut down, the meat plants, and food processing plants for all kinds of food. And what they're saying is, oh, because all of these workers have COVID-19, it's a hotbed, they say, for the infection or people being infected. Well, don't you think you can't find other people to go in there that are not infected and work in those jobs? I mean, it's absolutely absurd to think that you have to shut down these massive factories because some of the people have allegedly contracted COVID-ID. And of course, the test, I remind you, is fake. The COVID test that they're using, the antibody test, is anybody that has a scratch or a cold or a flu or anything else will test positive, and they're classifying it as COVID-19. This is the biggest scam hoax in the history of the planet. And yes, some people are getting sick of something and dying from a respiratory disease. Is it contagious? That's still out. The question on that is still out, but I guarantee you, you don't want to get it. But this is a man-made virus. That's something I've said from the very beginning. Okay, so, and then these people like Fauci, I mean, Trump still allows this person to be there. Everybody who has half a brain realizes this guy is a war criminal and is absolutely incompetent. And like many things, let's take another example of a really incompetent person who led an industry, Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan, everybody agreed that he was not a good scientist. He had hundreds and hundreds of published papers, but there were papers that were written by his graduate students at Cornell. Carl Sagan's secretary typed my books when I was at Cornell, in my papers that were published, etc. Her name was Marie Jones, and she lived in a little trailer house outside of Ithaca, and she was an elderly lady and a very good secretary. And that was back in the old days where you had a typewriter and you had the whiteout, etc. And when you sent your published paper in, it could not have any changes, couldn't have any whiteout, etc. It had to be a perfectly typed piece of paper, and then you mailed it in to the journal. That's how my papers, nothing electronic like you have today. But anyway, Marie Jones typed my books and papers when I was at Cornell. And she was Carl Sagan's personal secretary, oddly enough. So anyway, needless to say, I had to spend some time go out and visit her at her trailer house, which was very modest. Like I say, she was an elderly lady, kind of heavy set, and with this very matter-of-fact, you know, you've met women like this. They're older, and they're very matter-of-fact in what they say. You know, if they say something, it's like you can count on it because, you know, they have no airs about them at all. So anyway, she would tell me that I asked her one day, I said, you know, I never see these big professors from NASA and the NASA scientists and Carl Sagan and Joe Vavirka and all these people. I never see them over in the space science library or in the regular library or any place. I never see these people. And she goes, oh, they're too important to go to the library. If they want a paper or something, they send the secretary over there to get the paper, make a copy of it, and bring it back to them. They're too important to go to the library. And I'm like, wow. this, you know, these people got their nose up in the clouds. But that's the person that gave me the expression. That's the first time I heard it. The PhD and the secretaries used to joke that piled higher and deeper. But anyway, she told me that all of Carl Sagan's published papers were from his graduate students, and that he would take the graduate student's work and publish it, and that's how Carl Sagan got all his publications, because he was too important to... And of course, when I was there, 1979 to 81, Carl was in Hollywood making the Cosmos series, which now is being extended by Neil deGrasse Tyson. But the original Cosmos series and the original book, and Carl Sagan's personal assistant, Ann Druyan, who then became his wife, second wife, was the producer. And she did a lot of the production work on the book and on the Cosmos series, etc. But that was his personal assistant. But anyway, Carl was not a good scientist. And most scientists agree that even what he did publish was not quality science. And so that's an example of a Dr. Fauci kind of guy, a guy that's been entrenched. He's somehow still there. He's still running the show. He's basically running the world with his bad science. And Carl Sagan did the same thing, basically ran a lot of things that happened in the world. In fact, the whole global climate change movement began with Carl Sagan with his greenhouse effect, which couldn't possibly be true. The idea that the atmosphere acts like a glass ceiling for heat escaping from a planetary atmosphere is bogus. Yet millions and millions, billions of people's lives have been affected by this. And as I say, the question is not they're using a bogus science to try and accomplish something good. And that is that we shouldn't be burning all this fuel, all this energy. Why are we doing this? To keep an economy going so people can have a job and sit in, you know, most people's jobs, let me tell you, are not productive. They're not the end of all ends. The whole world could get by. And like, it's interesting, when the government shuts down, which it did one time a couple of years ago when they had a budget issue and they shut the whole government down, they talked about non-essential workers. Well, what's a non-essential worker? A non-essential worker is, hey, what you do is not very important, buddy. We can live without you indefinitely. And it was odd that when you looked at the non-essential workers, the percentage of the agencies, NASA was highest with 98% non-essential workers. It's just pork, pork, pork. And so anyway, the comment is that we're living in a society in which people's jobs, I mean, there's a lot of people that do real essential jobs, like the mayor of Las Vegas was talking about the people. Now, these people work in the hotels. They're just common, good people. They live around Vegas, and they service these hotels where all the people come and gamble and go to fancy shows and everything. And I think we've all been to Vegas. Last time I was there, I went to Cirque Soleil, and I hope that's something all of you see. Just a tremendous athletes, and I'd call them athletes, and actors doing these amazing, just absolutely incredible. But that was a number of years ago. But Vegas was serviced by all of these people. Well, these people do real work. These are the people, the heart of the country, that do real work, the workers, and their jobs are essential. You know, or the airline industry, or the construction people, or people in the food industry. These people do real work, you know, and most Americans actually do real work. But then there's the corporate crowd that gets an awful lot of money for really not doing much. Okay, so I'm going to kind of jump off this topic, but just a small amount of advice for people is that if you think things are going to get back to normal, you are wrong. They're going to continue with this thing on and on and on. And by fall, we have good word at this point that by fall, they're going to be releasing a vaccine. the alleged vaccine. That's why they got to keep these numbers pumped up and the fear pumped up to drive everybody to get their vaccination. And in that vaccination will be your ID 2020 Bill Gates chip. So don't take it, because this is going to be a showdown. I mean, this is going to be a real showdown between people and the government and the police and on. It's just, it's going to get ugly, 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 and it's not going to get any better anytime soon. Just a quick comment on July. July 22nd is the Earth's inferior conjunction, or our conjunction with Jupiter. And so remember that this happens about every 13 months where we come around and align with Jupiter. So remember what I've talked about, the Jupiter winds. The Jupiter winds, as we connect into the electric stream from the sun to Jupiter, Earth connects into that. And so we're going to have a, you know, that's the straight line winds that you experience around that period of time. So it could happen before July 22nd, or it could happen during or thereafter for possibly up to a couple weeks even, where we have these straight line winds. And of course, these can cause, we're right in the middle of the old hurricane season there too. So we have the new moon. Let's check that out. The new moon is July 20th. And so the new moon passing is July 22nd. So those coincide perfectly. And so, they, of course, the new moon passing in my work, which I've defined, is the breaking point. That's when the new moon, during the new moon and before the new moon, the moon is between Earth and the sun. So it's basically blocking the solar wind. It's taking the brunt of the solar wind. The moon is out there. It's acting like a comet and blocking the solar wind. And around 2 days later, as it moves out from between Earth and the sun, that solar wind comes pounding in, compresses our geomagnetic field that's way out there, about 30,000 miles out from Earth. The moon is a quarter million miles out from Earth, so it's way out there, way beyond our magnetic field. So when the moon moves out of the way, the solar wind comes pounding in and compresses our magnetic field and has reverberating effects all the way down to the troposphere where we live and our weather systems are. And so we have the Jupiter winds going on, the new moon passing. And so that could be a time when we could pop off of a couple hurricanes. And of course, nobody in the hurricane industry recognizes or understands this, because they're a bunch of piled higher and deeper morons. They're textbook geniuses, and they think that El Nino causes hurricanes, some heating effect that they don't even understand out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. These people are just complete idiots. But, you know, you are surrounded today by experts who don't know a thing. And Fauci is a good example, a guy that's, his ignorance has caused death and destruction around the world, and now at unimaginable levels. This guy still gets up with his little suit on. He can barely get his head up over the podium. Oh, jeez. And why Trump gives this guy the time of day, with Trump's history of analyzing people and seeing right through people, all I can say is, you know, he's just completely out. Trump is completely out of his element here. He's completely out of his element, trying to do the best job he can. But I'll tell you, stick me in there and I would clear that place clean in a New York second, because I can recognize these people a mile away. Trump was not in a university setting. He's not familiar with academic types like Fauci or Carl Sagan, these nobodies that got to someplace. And there's nothing worse than a guy or a woman in a place of authority that doesn't know anything and somehow got there. Somebody put them there. Somehow they climbed up the ladder. And nothing worse. So anyway, back to Jupiter. Jupiter winds, July 22nd, coming up shortly at a windy place near you. Just wanted to mention, a good guy to listen to is Patrick Wood. He talks about technocracy, the Trilateral Commission, world resource dominance, and that you are a resource. So a guy I recommend you listen to. Get his videos, the interviews of him with other people, etc. also Dr. Andrew Kaufman. There's so many good interviews. There's a lot of people waking up with this COVID-19 thing out there. There's a lot of good YouTube videos. But basically, this whole shutdown thing should have never happened. Never. It should not have happened. And the idea that opening things up will get back to normal, I'm sorry, boys and girls, simply not going to happen. So this, all of this is promulgated at this Imperial College, University of Oxford, Imperial College, and these are the basically the deep state in England, which works with the CIA and the MI6 or whatever you want to call them over in England. These are all the same group of people. These are all the same group of people, deep state people who operate and run the all kinds of things in the world from their slithering snake pit somewhere deep beneath the streets of London, somewhere deep beneath the streets of Washington, with whole hosts of university professors at their beck and call. And I just want to finalize this by saying that when you hear terms sustainable development, sounds so good, sustainable development, or words like diversity, sounds so good. And what those are front words, those are terminology used by basically the New World Order, the Trilateral Commission, etc., to basically get people to do their bidding, and it's really something very different. Okay, so one last point, boys and girls, grandmas and grandpas, and everybody in between, that's the test that they're using. They're sticking this swab up in people's nose and down in people's throats, allegedly to get a swab of a sample that then would be sent off and tested. Don't do it. They have found, in fact, that there are viruses that they're putting in your throat and putting in your nose, right where they're most susceptible. They're putting the virus right there. Many of the test kits have been found that were contaminated with nothing less than the Wuhan virus. So, at any rate, do not, I repeat, do not let anybody or don't let anybody in your government or anything else tell you that, oh, you everywhere have to have universal testing. Why do you think Hillary Clinton was opting for universal testing from the very beginning? Oh, we need everybody tested. Everybody get your test, because they're putting the virus in you. And there's also indications that a lot of the people that are actually very sick right now are people that actually were injected with the virus with the flu shot. With your, and you remember, oh, get your flu shot, get your flu shot. The flu shot doesn't do anything, because every year the flu comes around, it's different. So what they're giving you is a flu shot that is based on old viruses. It has nothing to do with the flu that might come around this year. And the flu is a general category for people, and it's typically for people who have compromised immune systems. That's the issue. People are getting sick because they're not healthy. They're not eating good food. They're living poorly. They're drinking alcohol. They're, you know, whatever it is that's breaking down their immune system, they're sick for a reason. They're getting sick. And there's a lot of people who are getting sick from the flu virus, from the flu shot. There's no statistics. They don't keep any statistics on how many people get the flu that have had the flu shot. The flu shot's supposed to prevent it, but it's giving it to a lot of people. And I know people, too, they say they will not take another flu shot because they got sick as a dog the last time they took it. But remember that the medical industry is an industry. They're there to sell you a product. They, you know, why do you think Walmart or Target, get your flu shot, it's free? No, it's not free. They're making money off of it. They make money off it. It's like selling you a bottle of shampoo, but they get a much more money out of it than selling you a bottle of shampoo. It's big business. If they can give everybody, like, for example, if everybody that came into Target or Walmart bought a certain bottle of shampoo, or you had to buy a certain bottle of shampoo, or they had a person at the door saying, go over on shelf number 52 over there and buy the shampoo, they would they would do that. But the people come in the store and, you know, go around and buy what they want. But if there's some product they could target or point you to that everybody had to buy, it would be a big money maker for them because they have, you know, 300 million people coming in buying this product. That's you know, with $10 each, that's $3 billion. This is not chump change, buddy. So they make a lot of money by giving you a flu shot. It's free. No, it ain't. You're paying for it through your taxes or someplace, and they're making a lot of money off it, and the same with the medical industry. If you, when they give your kids vaccinations, they're making a lot of money. And if you refuse, they're not making money, and that's the bottom line for them. They can't have all these people coming in refusing vaccination. So what do? They get the schools, and the school principal gets a bonus, actually money paid into that person's pocket by the number or percentage of students that have vaccinations. So this is a big money racket. This is the ring around the rosy or the merry-go-round money chain here. That's what's going on. So don't let anybody give you a coronavirus test because it's probably got something in it that they're going to stick up in your nose and you're going to get it, guaranteed. And they've already discovered the kits that are contaminated. And this is not a conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy fact. Yeah, change that for you. Anyway, okay, now this is a topic. And just when you thought it was safe to go outside again, here comes Michael Moore. Now, Michael Moore recently released a movie slamming the alternative energy industry. And, of course, the alternative energy industry is up in arms because Michael Moore was one of them. So Michael Moore comes out with this documentary, and I've seen it. It's very good. It's not like I learned anything. And he points out all of the deficiencies of the alternative energy industries, wind, solar, etc. And it's really true. And, of course, he doesn't say anything about the McCanny wing generator. I guarantee you that. But anyway, these industries are faulty. They're horrific, the amount of pollution that goes into making a solar panel or pollution that goes into making a wind three-blade wind tower. Horrific. They can never pay back the amount of damage they've done to Earth and the, you know, the economics. The only reason they're there, and this is Warren Buffett himself says this, he says they're there for the tax incentives and the subsidies. That's where they make their money. They put this stuff in. It doesn't work. The whole purpose is not to work. It's just to make the subsidies. They stick that money in their pocket. Then they sell it off to a third party that tries to make a business out of it. And those are people that are stupid. And they eventually, it shuts down. They walk away. They probably made some kind of a profit out of it. Maybe selling electricity that they never generated. That's another scam. And then, but anyway, Michael Moore's new documentary exposes all of this. But here's the thing. This was the plan all along. And I keep telling people, this was the scam of General Electric and Siemens all along. Because if you look at Siemens' core business, for example, they have one model of a generator. It's one of their big generators, maybe, I don't know what size, I'll just say 500 megawatts for an example. They have 20,000 of these worldwide. So they have all the maintenance, all of this. It's a big, big moneymaker. This is for Central Power Company power generation. And so Siemens and General Electric, this is a massive, massive international business. They're selling these big generators that run off diesel or coal or natural gas, etc. And absolutely massive business. And then they sell, they go around flaunting that they're selling these three-blade wind turbines and, installing it in this green energy. And, of course, the whole plan was when people finally figured out that it didn't work, then you got to come back And like Michael Moore, he says, look, this is a devastated industry. It doesn't work. Doggone, we got to get back to that really good GE Central Power Company power. That's the plan all along. And I pointed this out in my 2009 book, McCanny Wing Generator World Energy Project. I pointed this out. I said, this is what's going to happen, and it's coming to fruition. You see other people YouTube videos. And, you know, then you have people proposing the Green New Deal, and people are adding up the numbers, and they're going, you know, this is $77 trillion to try and get off and run on these, and we would have every square inch of the United States covered with solar panels and three-blade wind turbines. It doesn't work, and it's not cost-effective, and still you wouldn't have good power. And, you know, and people realize that the numbers don't add up. So they've been selling a pig with lipstick, as a friend of mine always says, it's a pig with lipstick, just a different color lipstick on the same old pig. So people are finally figuring this out. So when the people do figure it out, then you got opportunists like Michael Moore comes marching in, makes his video, of course, really ticks off the alternative energy people and the global climate change people who, this is their savior. If we can just panel the entire globe with solar panels, all of our problems will be solved. You know, and of course, that's not true because the sun only shines a couple hours of the day. You still need your central power company. And so the whole idea is that, oh, doggone, it's just not going to work. We got to go back to this really good GE Central Power Company and their basically their baseline business, which is massive, absolutely massive. So that just explaining to you, putting into perspective the Michael Moore movie. And so he's just a, I won't say crude words, but he's a seller of somebody else's defugalties. Or put it this way, he's a salesman of somebody else's personal being. I don't know how much nicer I can be and still say exactly what's going on. Just a quick comment. This is from a listener in New Zealand. He said, here it is. This is a just came in yesterday email that in New Zealand they have 1,200 alleged cases of coronavirus. Two people have died, one a woman in her 70s with pre-existing pulmonary disease and a woman in her 90s. So two people have died in New Zealand. Everybody else is fine. They have the whole country shut down. And literally, that's what's going on every place. Also, I have to make a comment here about this joker, Chris Cuomo. Oh, my goodness. If you have not seen this story, here's basically what happened. Chris Cuomo, when this whole coronavirus thing started, Andrew Cuomo is the governor of New York, of course. And, of course, that's the biggest state where, you know, disproportionately number of supposed coronavirus cases and deaths are occurring. And so Chris Cuomo, who's an anchor at fake news CNN, allegedly comes down with the coronavirus, is tested positive. So right from the get-go, this is back in early March at least, they're announcing that Chris Cuomo has been detected with coronavirus. So he's got to go home. So he sets up shop in his basement where he does his nightly news, and he's telling how tough it is, but he's toughing it out, and he's really, you know, going to stick this out and, you know, all of this stuff. And has all the public behind him. Every time you see Andrew Cuomo talking, you say, it really affects even our own family. My own brother has it, and they show the picture of him, you know, with his brother, and all just a tear-jerking, slobbering, you know, mother my dog. Oh, gee, just anyway. So as it turns out, Chris Cuomo is a fraud. A biker, a guy, just a guy riding his bicycle, comes across Chris Cuomo out in by this, apparently a house that Chris Cuomo is building out in New York on Long Island someplace, comes across him, and they go, what are you doing here? And he's like, riding my bike, you know. And so Chris Cuomo comes at the guy, And, you know, and they're like, well, you got to get out of here. It's like, you know, confrontational. And then the guy goes, hey, wait a minute. Aren't you Chris Cuomo, the guy that's got COVID ID? You know, you're tested positive. Aren't you supposed to be quarantined in your basement? And then Chris Cuomo comes at the guy, like, going to physically go after him. And then, anyway, as it turns out, Tucker Carlson, this guy that was riding the bicycle, goes on, calls in and identifies himself, goes on Tucker Carlson's show and tells his side of the story that he's just riding his bike down along this one path and he comes across this group of people. So he's kind of there and they're confronting the biker, the bicycle guy, and saying, what are you doing here? And he goes, well, you know, and they get in his face. So it's Chris Cuomo, his wife, and apparently his kids, and then there's some other guy there too. But none of them have masks. None of them are social distancing. Chris Cuomo is in the middle of the whole bunch of them and then confronting this guy. And so if Chris Cuomo really had coronavirus and was supposed to be self-quarantined in his basement, what's he doing out there, no mask, with all his family? You know, it's so it was a big fake story, the whole thing. And then at the end, they showed Chris Cuomo said that the CDC had said he had been cured. So he comes marching up the steps and does a high five with his wife in the living room. And they put this on TV. The guy never had it at all. It was a big fake story, a big fake story. That's CNN News, fake news. They even got it stinks so utterly, horrifically bad. And one last story here, the hospitals or the staff at hospitals are in these emergency rooms are claiming they have shortages of PPE, personal protection equipment. And I have it for sale. I mean, I've offered to these hospitals and they don't buy it. So they're not buying, the hospitals are not spending the money to buy the equipment that is readily available. Many people are selling this now from bona fide sources, and the hospitals aren't buying it. So they have their staff walking around reusing personal protection equipment. Much of it has to be renewed with every patient. Let me move into the future. We all have to start moving into the future. This coronavirus thing just took everybody by surprise. And I think pretty much everybody has purchased it or at some point in time, hook, line, and sinker, including myself. We really don't have a lot of real facts about this, real data. It's just so obfuscated and controlled and contrived and manipulated that it's hard to know exactly what's true. But what is true, you have to move into the future. So this past week, I picked up a new product line, and this is something I had been thinking about for a long time, but I actually moved on it. And as with anything, I examine this, I study it, and then I go out and I pick the best thing possible. As with my, for example, my water filters, they are the best water filters on the planet. Now, I have been talking over and over again about people getting systems where they can, or a garden, let's just use the simple term, a garden. But a lot of people don't have a nice backyard, they don't have a, you know, 5 acres, and they want to grow their own food. And so how can you do this? Well, there's a system of grow towers it's a product line that I picked up, and you can grow products, vegetables, basically vegetables. That's what I would say. You can also grow flowers. You could grow anything you want. But the idea here is to have fresh green vegetables. And let me tell you something. Even if you buy you go to the store and it says organic, it's well known that if those came any distance at all, they were sprayed. Something got sprayed on there. There were chemicals that got sprayed on those, and they say wash good before you eat. So it was the spray is to prevent fungus and insects. So there's really nothing that gets to your grocery counter without some kind of spray on it. And then, and even organic has been completely distorted. You know, as soon as something good happens, like, okay, people want to eat organic, the big industries get in there and they say, okay, politicians, here's some money under the table. We're going to call, human poop in Mexico organic. And we're going to call this chemical organic because it came from, anyway, they distort it and distort it. So when you, even though you think you're eating organic, you're not. And besides, the food was probably raised on soil that had questionable properties, etc. And so, you know, when you're eating, when you're buying food at the grocery store, it's really, really questionable what you're getting. It might look good, and that's because of fertilizer, typically ammonia type of fertilizers, which makes plants look good, but there's no food content. Okay, so fast forward to what I'm doing now. As I say, if you have a big garden with really good soil and you grow your crops, okay, you're lucky, but you're one of the very few people out there. So there are grow systems that, number one, reduce greatly the amount of time it takes to grow a crop. A typical head of lettuce will take from 78 to 90 days to grow. What if you could cut that time in a third? What if you could grow that head of lettuce in 28 days in a growing system? What if you could reduce the footprint and have a clean space where this is growing, where you don't have dirt, and you could put it in your house, or if you have a nice window that faces south, or if you have like a patio or something, it's springtime now. What if you could put 44 plants in a small area and the size of basically a head of cabbage that would be out in a field? What if you could have 44 heads of cabbage or lettuce in that same space, but on your deck, or in a little greenhouse or something like that? That's what's going on. And so there's something, you've all heard of hydroponics. This is not hydroponics. It's called aeroponics. In other words, hydroponics, you have a water solution. It's in a basin. You have a growth medium. Usually it's like calcified rock base. And basically you need the same physical area to grow a plant as you did with outdoor gardening in the dirt. Okay, but hydroponics was a nice step forward, but it still takes up a huge amount of area. So grow towers is the solution. And so now I'm offering on my webpage the grow towers. They are towers that are come in modules, and you can build them up to 11 modules high. But anyway, go to my webpage and take a look at these. It's a way that you can grow for food for your family. And the kits come with everything, the solution, the seeds, the instructions on how to do it, the timers, the pumps, the filters, the tubing, everything. It comes as a kit form. And I was on a radio show the other day, and some guy called in. He says, yeah, I made one of those pretty cheap myself. And let me tell you a little story about making it cheap yourself. By the time you go out and buy the pumps, if you even know what to buy, and size them and buy the tubing and cut the tubing and make the base and fit it all together, and then buy the solutions, the fertilization solutions, and then the timers, and then figure out exactly how often you should run the water, etc., and then preset your timer so that it turns the pump on and off at the right time, and you learn this. It's like one time my very first house I built myself in the woods, it was a log cabin. And so I talked to this old timer, and I said, I'm going to make all my own tools. I'm going to buy a little forge, and I'm going to hammer out my, and I'm going to make my own tools and then build my cabin. And the guy looked at me and said, what do you want to do, build tools or build a cabin? And I realized that he was right. So I went out and bought all my tools, and then I built my cabin. And so I spent my time building my cabin. So do you want to spend your time like this do-it-yourself home guy? Maybe some people can do that, but the vast majority of people are not going to do that. So at any rate, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com, and look at the very top. And these are amazing systems, and it can produce a tremendous amount of food. And what you do is you rotate. So when you pick up a head of lettuce, or you harvest some tomatoes or some spinach or whatever, then you replant, and you have this system going where you're constantly, as you harvest something, you put another seed pod into that space and start growing again. So you keep this, so it's constantly producing food, and you have a couple of these towers. in a very small space and you're growing your own vegetables, and they're very healthy vegetables, they're organic, etc. And then you can go out and buy your own seeds, like at a place like Seed Savers or one of those. There's many places now that sell truly organic, non-GMO seed, or you can grow your own plants and vegetables, etc., from seed, so and have this whole process. So you have a little starter table off to the side where you put the seeds in a little medium. You put the solution in there and get them going up to where they're a couple inches tall. Then you put them in the grow tower, and then they grow. And so in 28 days, you basically are growing a head of lettuce in a very short amount of time. You can also get them with lights, so you can have it indoors with lighting, with electric lighting, and it all plugs into one socket. So all you need is one electric socket, and the medium is there. The timers are preset, all the instructions on how to do it. So they're available on my webpage, so I'm very excited about this. And there are commercial systems available. So if you want anywhere from 10 of these towers up to hundreds or even thousands, whether it's in an outdoor setting or it's a greenhouse setting or indoors warehouse with complete lighting, etc., it takes a lot of design work. So anyway, what we have is an expert who will take you through the entire process for the completed system. So that's available for home use. If it's home use, you would go right to a link on my webpage and purchase right there. If it's for commercial use, then we have to sit down and do a lot of design work and then get you up to the point where you make a final purchase of a commercial system. But these are amazing, and aeroponics is the future. The other reason I chose this system is because eventually this is what will be used in outer space. Hydroponics will not be used in outer space. Aquaponics will possibly be used, but more than likely not. Aeroponics is the solution for outer space. And so that's, just looking to the distant future, that's another reason why I'm looking into this. Also, my water filters the factory's still open, operating. We're almost up to schedule on shipping. The standard size, we're very close. When you make an order, it's usually within a few days or a week that they get shipped. The Imperials, we're still about 3 weeks out on those, because there more people order those than the standard size filters. And so we're farther out on delivering. But the factory's open. We're still delivering. We don't have any stainless steel containers. Nobody does. I'm the only person with filter elements that are available to purchase. And they're the best on the planet. And they're the cheapest. I mean, my pricing is way below anybody else's. And they're the best. So go there. Send your friends there to jmccsci.com. And also remember the wing generator, the shipping containers, my Patreon channel, the paid casts, all of the other things on my webpage, Numana Food, all of that on my webpage. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we're at the crossroads. Good night.